Praise the Lord
for his presence
that we have already felt, for the precious word that we have read along. It just goes to our hearts. And we follow the Spirit who reveals the word, who speaks to us. Yes, who speaks to us through every word, whether we read it in Moses or in the prophets, in the Psalms, whether in the Old or New Testament, the Spirit of God makes the word alive and always has something to say. The word is not old, it is always new when it is revealed by the Holy Spirit. We have said it sometimes. You find it especially in the churches of the full gospel. They pray for it with sincere hearts, that God's word would be revealed fresh from the throne. It has happened. God's word has been revealed fresh from the throne. But then God is looking for people who have not only prayed that it would be revealed, but who are then ready to hear after it has been revealed. Many may not even be aware that their prayers have already been answered and that God has done something new. We have read along here in this word from Leviticus 26, where it says, "You shall put away the former things to make room for the new." That's it. That's it. The former things have been given out. It has already been eaten. We have already seen and recognized all this. And God has given new things to be distributed in due time. Yes, we don't need to say much more about it. We don't need to interpret it. The Holy Spirit reveals it all. We know that when the New Testament began, many still wanted to distribute old things, but God had his servants and his men who distributed what he had to give new in terms of revelation of the Word and the Spirit. God has always had a remnant ready to receive the new. We think here of all the past revivals. God has always had a remnant among his people who had a deep desire to experience something new with God. This word just fit 100% with what we already read and heard this morning from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 26 and 27. Here it says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." This is what has happened to the people of God up to this time. He wants to make such people out of us who walk according to his word, who do what he has said. And no human being can do this by himself. He may try 100 times. He will not succeed unless the Holy Spirit has been able to create something new, so that our will has been put into the will of God, and that we too can say, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And it will be done
as in heaven, so also on earth. The heart of an unbeliever is cold. It is hard. It is like stone. The heart of a believer is sensitive. It receives, it accepts, it rejoices in all that God does, and all that He speaks, and all that He works among His people by grace. I will make such people of you as will walk in my ways. This is already the big question, whether we have discerned the ways of God in this time. When Moses found grace before God, he asked for only one thing. He talked with God and said, "If I have found grace in thy sight, then let me know your ways, and by that I will know that I have found grace in thy sight." That's it. Today people talk about the grace of God and do not recognize the ways of God. But Moses, as a sign that he had found grace before God, he wanted to know one thing, namely the ways of God, which the Lord God had to go with his people in those days. And in the twinkling of an eye, he realized that what the Lord God had said to his servant and prophet Abraham was being fulfilled here. For 400 years, your descendants shall dwell in a foreign land, but then I will bring them out with a mighty hand. Moses had found grace with God, and the Lord let him know his ways. And Moses went one step further. He said, "Lord, if I have found grace in thy sight, then you must go with us. Otherwise, I will not go at all." Do you see what this is about? Don't just talk about the grace of God and then go your own way. Don't just talk about the grace of God and then not realize what it's all about. The grace of God includes everything. Everything. By the grace of God, our eyes are anointed and opened to see what God is doing now. By the grace of God, we are renewed. By the grace of God, we are led and guided, and we are allowed to see the ways of the Lord in this time. We can understand Moses so well. He did not want to do anything in uncertainty. Or say, maybe, and if, and but, nothing of if and but. If I have found grace in thy sight, let me know thy ways. And already it was passing before his eyes like a film, and he saw what God did in that time according to his promise. Let us never forget this. The people of God must recognize and believe the promise God has given them so that it may be fulfilled in their midst and God may come to his right and we may all be truly blessed. Anything else is a passing by of what God is really doing, and we know that enough of this is heard and seen up and down the land. People say, "Here is Christ and there is He." The question is, where is He really? Namely, where people like to hear His word, where people do not take offense at what He does, but heartily rejoice that He has come down to speak to His people once again. And for this we are grateful from the bottom of our hearts. He himself has promised, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes." We know that when the first creation happened, man was completely there, but he was dead. And when the Lord God had breathed the breath of life into him, he stood on his feet and was a living soul. There are people and churches today who are spiritually dead unless the Lord lets his spirit come into us. What happened when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead? He had given his disciples the promise that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. But already at his first meeting after the resurrection, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He breathed on them. Just as Adam received the breath of life to exist here earthly, so he gave them his spirit to make them alive so that they could serve the Lord from then on. Yes, he has made such people out of us who can walk in his ways. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It's foolishness unto him. It repels him. He doesn't want it, but the Spirit of God in us will do it. He has already accomplished it up to now. And that which is yet to be accomplished, he will also accomplish in all of us by his grace. We do not give up. We hold on and persevere until the end. For he who endures to the end will be crowned. Now we are going all the way. We can no longer look around to the right or to the left or back. No, we look to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Nor do we murmur as the people of Israel murmured. We are not dissatisfied. We know that God has his way with his people. And if we want to tell each other the truth, then we must say that God has let us know his ways and his arm has been revealed to us in this time. And I believe that for this we have special reason and cause to thank the Lord and to serve him with all our heart and to walk in his ways. Here was another scripture from the New Testament in connection with what we heard this morning. It said there that the Spirit blows as he wills. And when the Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, he also spoke of the wind that blows, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and knowest not whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. But one thing we know, when the wind has blown, that something has happened. And in these days, when the storm is blowing through the lands, you hear of all the damage when such a wind blows through the land. And when the wind of the Spirit blows through the land, then something will be heard. Then one or the other will be carried away. Perhaps this and that will be uncovered. One does not know. The wind can act in different ways. With the one, it uncovers the roof. You all know what it is. Everywhere something different happens. But when the wind has passed through in such a power, somehow you will see the traces afterwards. And so it is with us who have become believers. At that time, this man Nicodemus asked, "How is this to happen?" and so forth. And the Lord says, "It is like the wind that blows. You hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goes. But one thing is certain, where the wind of the Spirit blows, something must happen and something has happened. At Pentecost there was a sound from heaven. One heard, one saw, something had happened among the people of God. The same is happening to us at this time. I remember one or two services. I would have to check it if it was the same sermon when Brother Branham was preaching. And then as he was praying, all of a sudden, there was such a roar past the platform that you could hear with power. And he said, the same Spirit of God that came down at Pentecost came down here today. And upon the whole assembly, it has come. The Spirit of God is still working in the same way. We sing the chorus, God's Spirit is working once more. When I heard this chorus recently in India, then I thought, this is the truth. God's Spirit works once more to fulfill every word everywhere, in every place, God's Spirit works once more. Then I thought, what good is it for us if God's Spirit works once more everywhere unless He works in us? Then I added the second stanza, God's Spirit is now working in me. That is the important thing. What good would it do us if the Spirit of God were working all over the earth and we would not be included in this work? May God have mercy that no one's heart becomes hardened and that no one thinks we don't know what we are talking about. We know what we are saying. The old had to be taken away to make room for the new. And this agrees with what the prophet says in the Old Testament. The former prophecies have come true and new things I make known. Why? God is a living God. He gives instructions. You all know, in the time of Moses, what the Lord had promised Abraham came true, and He made known new things and manifested in the midst of them that believed in those days what God did then. And it is written that there was darkness in the land of Egypt, so thick that it could be grasped. But in Goshen, where the people of Israel were gathered, there was daylight. There the sun shone with all its power and glory. That's how it is now. Darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness the people. But a bright and glorious light has risen over the people of God. Why? We have seen what God is doing in this time. It says of the first coming of Christ that to them which sat in the region of shadow and death, light is sprung up. Why? Jesus is the light of the world. He has sent His word to bring out all those who are in darkness and to enlighten them. Yes, the prophet summed it up with the words, I will make such people of you as walk in my ways. This needs no interpretation or explanation at all. Such people as walk in my ways. If we have found grace before God, we can pray, Lord, if so, let me know thy ways. Show me your way, that I may walk in it. So it is. God has shown us His way with His people in this time. And in that way, which leads to glory, we will walk until we come from believing unto seeing. You all know, we are so grateful for what God has done in this time, for sending His servant and prophet in a very special way. But one thing struck me, especially now in the past week in the USA. One cannot always introduce a person, even when God has used him in such a mighty way. One must then finally focus on the purpose for which such a man of God was sent. I have used the example, especially in the Anglo-Saxon world, there is the concept that you don't know a man unless he has been introduced a few times before you can have any acquaintance with him. And I have had to say that it would be of no use to anyone if we are constantly introducing and say, this is Brother Frank and this is Brother Frank. Only once is enough. You introduce a person and then you expect everyone to understand what was said. You can't keep introducing and introducing. You have to get to the point that a man of God has been sent to turn the heart of God's children back to the original faith of our Father, and sweep everything else off the table so that the table is set anew with the word revealed by God for this time. And then you don't always have to say prophet backwards and forwards. You say what God has said in His holy word. And then God makes such people out of us who then walk in His ways. That is a big difference. Whether you always say, have you heard, have you heard? It would have been just like when John appeared and the disciples did not understand that the plan of salvation had continued and kept saying, listen, we want to talk to you today about John the Baptist. Their task was not to talk about John the Baptist. Their task was to recognize the way of God and to walk in it. God had all his servants, but he did not stop. He always went on. John had his ministry, and those who lived at that time followed him and were glad. And he could say, "The friend of the bridegroom hears the shout of joy of the bride." And this my joy is now fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. And even when some of John's disciples had not yet understood that the Word had become flesh, then he had to send them away and say, "Go, ask him yourself whether it is he or not, or whether we should wait for another." There are people who say John doubted. Whoever finds this in the Bible, that John doubted, may read it to me. Let him read it to me. John was a man filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. He knew who Christ was. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." But he still had some who clung to him, who had not yet understood that his hour had come, and also the hour of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when they went, they saw and heard. And it says, from then on, they followed the Lord Jesus. The Lord wants to make such people out of us, who recognize the way of God and walk in it, who do not stop and turn around, but who have understood what the prophet was sent for in this time, namely to bring back the Word. And now we are experiencing something that we cannot miss. Now we are experiencing the power and might of the Word revealed by God in this time. The Word cannot return void. It must accomplish what the Lord has sent it to do. Not that we should misunderstand anything. I know everyone is misunderstood in what they say if someone wants to misunderstand it. But I don't think such people are in our midst. We want to understand God rightly in what he says and does, and to get the divine things right. The disciples at that time, they could not stop at John's ministry. Then the Lord Jesus came with his ministry, and at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit began to work in a mighty way. They could not go back two epochs. No, they could only go forward. For the Spirit of God was pressing forward. And I tell you, since the days of the Reformation, the Holy Spirit has pressed forward with power, and one revival came after the other. And now he presses on with power to the completion, that all those who are willing to walk in the way of God, that they may not look backward, but understand what the Lord God has done in this time by his grace. Forward, in faith, in the Savior, as the song goes. The hour has come for divine balance to be brought into the proclamation. Divine balance belongs in the proclamation of the Word of God. There was a time when we emphasized in a special way what God has done. Now is the time when we want to focus on what God is yet to do. And that is no longer far away. The Lord God will show himself mighty among his people, among those who have understood what the ministry of a prophet is needed for and what should be accomplished through it in this time. Our aim and our focus is solely on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It is he who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Blank spot. Blank spot. God wants to make such people out of us who walk in his ways, who no longer look back, who go forward, to reach the goal. And as someone prayed, we believe that the Lord Jesus will return very soon. But we do not set times or years, but only want that we have found grace in the sight of Almighty God and be prepared as it pleases Him. And when He returns, as one writer says in the Gospel, whether it be in the morning or at midnight or in the evening, that when the Lord comes, that He may find us watching and that we may be ready to enter with Him into the heavenly glory. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. This is what the Lord has done by grace. And only those who are truly renewed will have made room for the new things that God is doing. Otherwise, we will always go back to the old. I am quite honest with you all. When we first got to know Brother Brennan's ministry and heard about the biblical truths, also about the biblical baptism, then I always wanted to go back to the old and say to myself, Lord, You have blessed me, You have been with me, then the baptism must have been right. Even if it was not right, it must still have been right. You know what I mean, don't you? And I kept wanting to go back to the old and excuse myself with it. But then the day came when I had to understand, you can't hold on to the old and receive the new. You have to let go of the one to be able to grasp the other. Most people have both hands full of old stuff. You know what I mean. And then they want to receive the new. They cannot receive anything new unless they drop the old and have both hands free to grab the new. That's how it is in this time. God has given us grace that we could come to Him empty-handed and say, Lord, our God, You have stored up new living food for this time, Your glorious revealed word for this time, and we want to receive that with all our heart and soul. There were many things like the issue of the Godhead and many, many biblical truths. At first, you always wanted to go back to the old and say to yourself, you have believed that for many years, you have preached that yourself, and now what about this? Even believed and preached by yourself. What's the use of it if you were not enlightened by the Holy Spirit? Therefore, it is necessary for all those who want to go forward with God to put an end to everything that is old, to everything that is your own, and say, Lord, from today onwards, I want to serve You with all my heart and with all my soul. You all know I had already baptized who knows how many in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and was not yet baptized myself. Sometimes you are kind of struck with blindness and you don't even notice it. And I was 100% convinced that it was biblical. Suddenly I think, man of God, what is it with you? You preach to everyone else that they must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then I found my way to the water quickly. Yes, sir. Then I found my way to the water. God must first help us all to realize that we have to let go of the old. We have to make room for the new. Have we all understood? Space for the new, the old. Yes, it even says of the old covenant that the Lord has made a new. And when a new comes, the old one is obsolete. It has done its duty. The purpose has already been. And then we see God creates something new by grace. That's how it was with every revival. God created something new, and all those who were willing to receive it, they were blessed anew, brought deeper into the Word, and rejoiced in the Lord their God. This is how we too have had to do it in this generation, as we read it in Moses here, that space had to be made for something new. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. May God bless us in this afternoon hour. Perhaps I should say that it occurred to me that we also have a baptism opportunity here today. We already had a baptism yesterday in this place, but maybe there are people here today who don't know if they can be here a second time very soon. Perhaps God wants you to demonstrate total obedience in action today in this place. One must be able to draw a line under everything old in order to begin anew. With God, everything begins anew. You cannot take old leaven with you. The Lord says, "Behold, I make all things new." And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "A little leaven already spoils the whole dough." We do not want to spoil again, but we want the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. If there are people in our midst who have not yet been baptized biblically in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, today you have the opportunity, and it should not be difficult for anyone to place and see this biblically. When the Lord Jesus says, "Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost," then surely the first question is, what is that name? Is it true or not? Father, I'm a father, you know, because I have children. I am son because I have a father. I am a husband because I'm married. But that is not my name. My name is not the titles and not the designations. The name is something else. God is Father. In heaven, He revealed Himself as Father, on earth, in the Son, and in us through the Holy Spirit. But the same God, who revealed Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, also revealed Himself in a name in the New Testament. And this name is above all names. And there is no other salvation than in the name of Jesus Christ. And that is why all people were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jews, Greeks, and Gentiles. All were baptized into that name, knowing that it is the name in which God revealed Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is very simple. But you have to be able to clean up the old before you start the new. And God must give grace for this. Otherwise, we don't recognize God's way with the church in this time. There are so many people who say, what was good for the great grandfathers must be good for us. It doesn't have to be that way. Now we are living in the last times. All things must be ordered biblically. The end must be as the beginning was. All strange doctrines must be out. Already in the first church age at Ephesus, it says, "You tried them which say they are apostles, and hast found them liars." Why? They came and said, "We are apostles too, aren't we?" And they listened for a moment. That was not true what they said. That was not true. And then they said, "Go away. You are false apostles. You only have the mask of apostles. You are not sent by the Lord. Otherwise, you would preach the same thing that the apostles of the Lord preached." That's why they knew right away, here we don't have to listen long. They tore off their masks and said, "Go your way. This is not the place for you to stay." Back then, they still wanted to hear the pure and holy word of God. The standard is God's word alone. There is no way around it. It is the standard. It is tested by it. And every man who is of God must proclaim what has been proclaimed in the Bible. We must baptize as the apostles baptized, don't we? Or are we something special before God? No. Back to the word, back to the pattern of the Holy Scripture. He will bring it to pass with us all. All things that we do must be in conformity with the word of God. And then the Lord will bless us and make known and distribute new things by His grace. Amen.